Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. That's the number one place that you want to contribute money to, because that's the number one place you're getting great information from. You're getting this show, you are getting all the other shows, John Stattmiller's show, you're getting all of these other great shows, lots of information, and we're cheap, but we ain't easy, okay? So we do need some money. John Stattmiller runs this network very, very efficiently. You couldn't ask for a more efficiently run, economically run organization than this, but it's you can't run on fumes. You need some actual gasoline. You need some actual shekels. You know the routine. You go to RBN, you click on the donate button, and you send those shekels. And today, I have with me Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on. I guess I'm on short notice, but that's fine. It's good to be back with you on a Tuesday, and we'll just fly the plane wherever you wish.
Yeah, it is pretty short notice. Like, the moment the show is already, the music's already playing, and we get you lined up. That's what an efficient operation this is. But it's great to have you on, and I see you've been putting all sorts of very important information up on nationalbugle.com. I want to thank you for that. Pat Buchanan writing about the caravan, putting Trump's legacy on the line. We want to talk about that, and we also want to talk about the yesterday's news that President Trump is considering or expressing his intention to withdraw from the intermediate nuclear weapons ban treaty. But why don't we start with the caravan, because you've got some good stuff up on nationalbugle.com. Pat Buchanan says that Trump's legacy is on the line. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think the key thing in the Buchanan article for me is that, and Pat says it right at the end of the article, is that there needs to be basically an opportunity to use this situation as leverage to get the Saudis to pull the plug on this genocidal war in Yemen, or at least to pull the plug on any remaining American support for this thing. We should never have been involved in this to begin with. And I think Buchanan is suggesting that now is the time to really put the heat on bin Salman and to say, we'll continue dealing with you in this Khashoggi matter. But as of right now, the American support for what you're doing in Yemen is coming to a quick halt.
Yeah, what the heck were we doing in that anyway? And very few people really knew we were involved. I mean, we knew that the America was involved, but it's not as if there were any demonstrations in the street. It got very little coverage in the media. And to the extent it ever gets coverage, it's used to beat Trump over the head. Although this was a policy started, I believe, in 2014 by the Obama government, something that Trump just inherited, which he should have put an end to it. But we know that I would say he doesn't really have control over his foreign policy. He has part of that is because he's appointed people to his foreign policy establishment that don't support the agenda that he campaigned on and that he still from time to time expresses. So what are the prospects of the Trump administration doing what Pat Buchanan advises and saying, okay, we can continue to deal with you, but we're pulling out of we're not going to support your operations in Yemen anymore. What are the odds of that?
It's hard to say. I'm not particularly optimistic, again, because of what we have been observing up to this point, where Trump's foreign policy has largely been hijacked, in my view, and I have said it before on the air here, by a series of pro-Zionist, pro-neocon people in his national security advice team who have pulled him absolutely in the wrong direction on this thing in Yemen, pulled him in absolutely the wrong direction in continuing to allow American intelligence and military forces to be fooling around in Syria, and who, in my judgment, have pulled the president in the wrong direction, both on this P5+1 nuclear deal with Iran, and now, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, this INF treaty that we're pulling out of. It seems to me that we're setting the stage here for an awful lot of really bad things, up to and including this Zionist war drum beat for an attack on Iran, which certainly, in terms of understanding the Saudi-Israeli machinations and all of this, it's obvious that there is a mutual agreement on the part of these two governments that they have an anti-Shia paranoia that has become absolutely criminal in its manifestations. And that, curiously enough, a liberal Democrat was asking me a couple of days ago what my reading was on why the United States had moved in the direction of a closer relationship with Saudi at the expense of Iran. And I said, well, I think it boils down to what Dr. Philip Giraldi said in his recent interview with Tasnim News Agency. We're talking about petrodollars and the feeling that in terms of the petrodollar and preserving the sanctity of the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And also, Mr. Trump has been emphasizing this gigantic desire on his part to make sure that this $110 billion arms deal with Saudi does not go awry, does not get co-opted by the Russians or the Chinese or others, that this all plays into what I think is going on here. But the Saudis and the Israelis have mutually decided that destroying the Iranians as a regional power in that area is definitely to their liking. And this whole thing that was coming up constantly in many of these position papers that you were seeing being quoted from time to time by people in the Israeli intelligence community and in the Israeli national security field over there, which were being repristinated with some of these non-governmental organizations here and outfits like the Heritage Foundation and the, I'm trying to remember the name of the group that's the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, that one, and two or three others, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. All of these are basically Israeli fronts, and they have been emphasizing the need to destroy this so-called Shia Crescent, going from Iran to Alawite Syria and on into southern Lebanon and this whole issue of the alliance that the Iranians and the Syrians are said to have with Hezbollah.
And so, and doesn't Yemen figure into it to an extent, as well as this this Houthi rebel group, which I don't know a whole lot about, but they are not Sunni. They are from some tradition.
They're basically Shia. Yes, and I think that although they are Shia, I think the extent of Iranian involvement in this thing in Yemen has been grossly overblown by the Saudi and Israeli lobbies in the United States. And certainly in terms of what the Saudis are doing there with full support of the United States, these are American armaments that are being used, American airplanes that are being used. It's come out more than once in the Air Force Times and other American military magazines that you can read online, that the Air Force has been using these KC-130 tankers to refuel these Saudi aircraft as they've been on their way to striking these civilian targets in Yemen. And the most horrific aspect of this, which came up again, Patrick Cockburn has a brand new story out there at the UNS Review, which is the lead story at antiwar.com today. And I don't think I've posted it yet at National Bugle, but will. And it's entitled Trump's Actions in the Middle East Will Be His Downfall. And Cockburn begins the article by saying that the Middle East has a century-old tradition of being the political graveyard of American and British political leaders. And he lists Lloyd George, Anthony Eden, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Tony Blair, and George W. Bush. And as you go on, see what Mr. Coburn has said here in this piece. What is noteworthy is that once again we are seeing these latest warnings of the United Nations that somewhere between 13 and 17 million Yemenis could starve as a result of the Saudi military policies against Yemen. That's an incredible loss of human life. We could be talking about figures in the millions of people who could die of starvation as a result of this blockade, as a result of these airstrikes and all the rest of it. And this again, is part of the blowback that it seems the United States foreign policy, a Zionist neocon foreign policy, which curiously enough has this less than undercover relationship with the Saudi government now, that all of this is, Mr. Patrick Coburn, I think, underscores this today. This whole thing really threatens the Trump presidency in regard to not only his credibility, but this whole issue of America First and the fact that it's this precise region of the world with the precise players that have a disproportionate influence on not simply the executive branch of our government, but the legislative as well, that we're getting more and more deeply involved constantly in just a really distressing situation where a global conflict could just be around the corner in the next year or two if we're not extremely careful. And then from time to time, when Mr. Putin needs to clarify something or Mr. Lavrov needs to clarify something, it's quite obvious that they are extremely concerned with the direction that all of this is taking in regard to the American-Russian relationship. Mm-hmm. And the Russians are keeping their powder dry, reminding the world that they've gone a long way in their development and acquisition of these hypersonic missiles. And they are not unacquainted with the fact that this situation, if it continues to deteriorate, including what's going on in Eastern Europe and in the Baltics and in the Ukraine, could well nigh result in a far, far bigger catastrophe than anyone necessarily would have foreseen 2 years ago when Trump was elected.
Right, and he's brought in these people to his administration. Now, of course, Nikki Haley is on her way out, and Professor Stephen F. Cohen, in his broadcast last Tuesday with John Batchelor, had some interesting things to say about his take on Nikki Haley. I'm going to, rather than try to recap it myself, I'm going to include it in a program later this week. By the way, there was some extra interview with Richard Spencer that went beyond our show, and I'll be incorporating that in a later show too this week. It was on the upcoming midterms. But, of course, even if Nikki Haley's gone, we still have John Bolton. And now John Bolton was in the news a couple of days ago, I guess over the weekend, because it had been reported that he and John Kelly, the chief of staff, had a shouting match. And I mean, basically, I tend to think of John Bolton as kind of the worst of the worst. But in this case, he was apparently arguing for if not militarizing the border with Mexico to prevent this, you know, caravan from coming in. At least he was complaining about Kelly's protege, Kirstjen Nielsen, at the Department of Homeland Security, who's not doing her job, and he rightly pointed that out. And so just as it seems like, oh, well, maybe there's some hope for Bolton after all, the next day you hear this news that Trump wants to or intends to pull out of the INF, the Intermediate Nuclear Missile Ban Treaty that was negotiated between Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan. And just a very brief history, in 1986, there had been a summit meeting between Reagan and Gorbachev in Reykjavik, Iceland. And the two men and just their translators went into a little room in this little house and came out saying that they've decided to eliminate all their nuclear weapons. Well, George Shultz and Caspar Weinberger were pretty shocked to hear that. Maybe a lot of people were shocked to hear it. I'm sure you remember it, Mark. But they quickly whittled that down to a ban on one category of nuclear weapons, these intermediate range nuclear weapons that the United States had deployed in Western Europe, and they could reach Moscow in just like, a couple of minutes. And vice versa, Russia could reach at least Western Europe in a matter of a couple of minutes. And they were considered very dangerous because if Moscow thinks that the United States is attacking it with missiles launched from North Dakota, they've at least got, 20 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so to figure out what the heck is going on. But with the intermediate range missiles, there would be no time to figure out what's going on. That decision would have to be made basically immediately, whether or not to have a nuclear Armageddon. So it was a big deal getting rid of them. And now, apparently, John Bolton wants... I'm sure it would be John Bolton who wants to scrap this treaty. You might have better information on it. And John Bolton, I believe, is in Russia right now for something. And I heard Sergei Lavrov last night say that the Russian government is going to try to meet with him to ask him what the heck is going on. So here's my question. I had thought earlier this year, with regards to North Korea, that Trump's belligerence on North Korea wasn't aimed so much at scaring the North Koreans, but it was aimed at scaring the American foreign policy establishment into thinking he would launch a war in North Korea, and thereby he would be allowed to meet with Kim and negotiate with Kim. I don't know if I was correct on that. I mean, he did meet with Kim and negotiate with Kim, so maybe I was right. Or maybe he really thought he was scaring Kim. I don't know what he was really thinking. So the question is it possible that Trump is doing, he is threatening to walk away from this iconic treaty in order to get the permission he needs from the media, from the foreign policy establishment to perhaps meet with Putin and, renegotiate it or something. Do you think that's a possibility, or am I grasping at straws?
I'm not optimistic, and I hope that I'm proven wrong. I'm certainly not inerrant on this subject. If there is a master strategy that I'm not aware of here that results in the working with Mr. Putin toward producing a better treaty, then I'd be all for that. But to me, I think the best context in which, at least for now, I can see this is Ted Galen Carpenter's article, which came out today in the American Conservative. It's titled "Poking the Russian Bear with a NATO Umbrella." And when you read through what Ted Galen Carpenter says here in this piece, I can only, in my own mind, interpret this evisceration of this INF treaty in the context of these other moves that are being made, that none of which I consider to be in the true American national interest. This is where the alliance with Saudi and Israel against Iran comes in, certainly, what we're doing in Syria, what we are permitting to be done, what we're subsidizing in regard to the situation in Yemen. But just looking more at Russia in isolation now, just for a moment, I guess maybe we may take a break here. We'll come back and take a look at this.
Yeah, we'll take a break, and then we'll isolate. So. Okay. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoffin. So, Mark, you were talking about the INF Treaty and Russia.
Yeah, and I would urge people to go to nationalbugle.com, your website, Patrick, and take a look at an article that I just posted during the break from the American conservative Ted Galen Carper's piece here on the 23rd of October, titled "Poking the Russian Bear with a NATO Umbrella." To me, when you read the totality of the article, I think Ted Galen Carpenter makes a pretty convincing case for the fact that this present situation that we have with this INF treaty termination cannot be seen in isolation from these crazy ideas to expand NATO membership to Georgia and Ukraine, the situation already that we have seen with the addition of other people to NATO membership, thinking of Montenegro, for example, which was approved not too awful long ago. And when you see how this whole thing with termination of the ABM treaty by Bush, George W. Bush, this INF situation with Trump now, these ongoing military exercises, the biggest NATO military exercise since the Cold War, is in the process of unfolding now with some 50,000 military personnel. You add that to
where is it unfolding?
It's unfolding. If you get back to antiwar.com, I'm going to check here to get the complete information on this. It's posted on the front page. This comes up. Let's see here. Scandinavia. The U.S. Marines are landing in Iceland, flying overhead in Scandinavia just days ahead of the kickoff of Trident Juncture. That's the title of the latest war game for NATO, Trident
juncture. It's focused on the Arctic Circle in Scandinavia, and it's said to be the largest operation since the Cold War. This is what antiwar.com is reporting to us today. 31 countries involved, 29 NATO members, and Finland and Sweden. They'll be sending 50,000 troops, 10,000 vehicles, 150 warplanes, 65 ships. And starting Thursday, day after tomorrow, it will last a month. The Russians understand that this is a little too close to their own border for their own comfort. And as they are watching this whole thing unfold, it's being packaged once again by these NATO people who are presenting this as a quote unquote response to Russian aggression, unquote. And yet, frankly, between what we saw with the termination, unilateral termination of the ABM deal, now this INF treaty abrogation, the ongoing use of these military deployments and exercises, the addition of new people, new countries into the NATO alliance. And I think it would be particularly ominous, of course, if, for example, you had Georgia and the Ukraine being added to NATO. That would be a virtual tripwire for a third world war in regard to Article 5 being invoked in either one of those places.
And really, they don't have the credentials to join NATO because they have an ongoing border dispute, a territorial dispute, and that should disqualify them.
Yes.
Those disputes are supposed to be resolved before joining NATO. But, there's been a push for, at least since the mid-2000s. And John McCain was a big pusher of it. Lindsey Graham, I believe, is too. So on the PBS NewsHour yesterday, they had a discussion of this. And, you know, they bring on okay, one young lady, I don't know if she was Jewish, she was young and she was pregnant. Her name's Rebecca Heinrichs, and she works for the Hudson Institute. And the Hudson Institute is heavily Jewish neocon think tank based in Washington, D.C. And, of course, she was making the argument that, Russia bad, so we have to do this because Russia's in violation, they're provocative, they're aggressive. And then they brought on this a former ambassador to West Germany, so it was before German reunification. His name was Richard Burt. And, you know, he makes not really the opposing point. He says, well, yeah, Russia is in violation. Lots of countries violate treaties, and this isn't, you know, this makes us look like the bad guys by withdrawing from the treaty, you know, instead of them being the bad guys, and we shouldn't do something that makes us look like the bad guys. And, of course, Who was up there? They don't invite on anybody, and it wouldn't have to be you or myself. It could be Professor Cohen, who's got, you know, he's got the more mainstream credentials to say what you were just saying about expanding NATO. We weren't supposed to expand NATO to Russia's borders. This was a violation of the promise made by the first President Bush to Mikhail Gorbachev.
Exactly.
Exchange for Russian-German reunification. We've been in violation of so much. We've been so provocative, and nobody's making that case. And then, of course, you know, the whole Ukraine. So here we go again. So then the question is Trump playing a game, or is he completely being
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back to the show. So, Mark, we've been talking about Russia. We've been talking about the foreign policy, this INF treaty. And I had, you know, earlier asked, is it possible that Trump rattles sabers in order to scare the establishment enough to give him a chance to talk, to meet? That might have been the case with North Korea. It looked like, to me, it looked like it was, but I'm not sure. And then I was speculating, maybe it is with Russia. Now, Trump's administration, as you were pointing out during the break, his foreign policy team is about as neocon as it gets. Except one person, and that's Donald Trump. But he's got a lot on his plate. He's campaigning day every day. And he doesn't seem to be that much in control of his foreign policy most of the time, but he has had some big initiatives, like the meeting with Kim Jong-un, and who may well be coming to Washington right after the election. So I have a certain amount of optimism, but, you know, is it really warranted? How much proof do I have?
Well, the jury perhaps is still out on this. I just look at what has developed in the last 2 years, and I'm certainly on the negative side of the ledger in assessing where I think this Trump foreign policy thing is taking us. And in terms of what it would be the case if he were elected, just in Syria alone, has not only not happened, but it seems to me that he is being pulled along by those who would never have wanted to have seen him in the White House to begin with, mm-hmm. who obviously were far more comfortable with having Hillary Clinton in the White House than Donald Trump. And yet, as far as the basic foreign policy issues are concerned, I can't say when you look at Syria, when you look at Yemen, you look at the abrogation of this treaty with Iran, and now this INF killing of this INF deal with Russia, the ongoing stuff that's going on in the Ukraine. I have a very difficult time saying that this is taking us in the right direction. And I think Patrick Colburn is of the same mindset, certainly in what he said today in the UNS review, that it's quite likely to be in foreign policy, and especially in the Middle East, Mr. Trump's presidency could well nigh go down the drain if he doesn't get a better hold on where these people are trying to take him.
So, you know, one question is, how much of this is due to, you know, the whole Robert Mueller probe, the Russia hoax? Now, of course, he appointed Nikki Haley to what's often a pretty, you know, ceremonial or not. The UN ambassador, sometimes they're important and sometimes they're not. He appointed her to that right after the election. But his original national security advisor, General Flynn, seemed not to be of the regular neocon mold. And I had some hopes for Rex Tillerson. Didn't work out the way I was planning, but maybe it didn't work out the way Donald Trump was planning. Now, when he had to replace Flynn and when he replaced Tillerson, he replaced them with typical neocons. But those appointments were made at a time where he was, you know, under this severe pressure of the Mueller probe. So I want to get onto some other topics, but the one thing that I'm hoping is going to be the breakthrough for Trump is being able to establish a good working relationship with Vladimir Putin, which hasn't happened, but they did have one good summit. So I do think there are prospects for it. But, you know, there's not a summit planned right now. So I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, it seems to me that in terms of the dynamics of the administration's relationship with Russia, certainly all of this has been complicated by the character of this Russiagate and the particular spin that the news media in this country, this pro-Clinton, pro-globalist news media, anti-Putin news media in the United States, has given to this Russiagate spin. That's certainly been a complicating factor for the president. But to me, I have believed for some period of time that at some juncture, Mr. Trump is going to need to take his case directly to the American people. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean that he needs to get network time and all the major networks, and without announcing in advance what he's going to talk about, let the media build it up in terms of anticipation that there's mm-hmm. some really big deal that's brewing here and the President of the United States is going to tell us that we're about to go to war or something mm-hmm. like that. And then for Trump to basically come clean with the American public about what he believes, what he believed when he was running, what he believes now, and that he feels it's time to make a clean break. We want to steal something from the Project for the New American Century for a moment, to make a clean break with this Zionist neocon element that has taken the United States down the road of perdition. And in this regard, if he were to take his case directly to the American public and to explain the wider implications of this situation that has confronted his administration and that has confronted the entirety of the American public since 2001, it would take that type of bully pulpit to potentially create for him enough of a public response to give him the political cover to get rid of these people that are taking him in the wrong direction. Haley is not there, but that apparently is by her own choice, as near as I can tell.
It's hard to say.
But Bolton certainly needs to go. Pompeo needs to go. And this whole direction that the Trump administration has with the abrogation of these two major treaties with Iran and Russia, respectively, the ongoing increase in these NATO military exercises, the latest of which is this Trident Juncture operation in the Scandinavian region and in the Arctic we made reference to earlier in the show. This stuff all needs to come to a halt. And it just seems that for those who argue that the deep state has the ability to run things in this country, regardless of who's sitting in the White House, they might have a compelling test case here in that what's unfolded thus far is not what Donald Trump campaigned on.
It certainly isn't. It's not what we voted for. And that's an interesting proposition for him to go on, a previously announced address, make an address to the people. That's the type that we used to see Johnson and Nixon and Ford and Carter make. I guess by the time Reagan came on, he was doing more or less weekly fireside chats, and there was already, dozens of channels on cable TV by then that he couldn't monopolize. But we used to see, the president, your regular programming has been co-opted by the president of the United States. I can't remember. Your regular programming has been whatever it was, but it was something that would happen from time to time. That would be preempted. Well, there's something else you posted, and this is shifting gears. But this article by Paul Craig Roberts, the white heterosexual male has been renditioned to the punishment hole. That sounds kind of weird. But Paul Craig Roberts, the former assistant treasury secretary and Wall Street Journal editor, and I guess he's got a PhD in economics, he's starting to become more and more blunt about what's going on, isn't he?
Yeah, this particular article I saw in Lou Rockwell on the 8th of October, I believe. And basically what Roberts is talking about here is that this cultural revolution that has engulfed the United States in the last 50 years has increasingly rendered white heterosexual males into the so-called punishment hole. And in this particular case, the punishment hole is to be scapegoated for all of society's alleged ills. These are obviously all the result of white heterosexual males. If you follow the culturally Marxist line all the way down the line, the feminist movement, which Roberts gets into discussing in this article, is part of the issue that he took issue with. And as you start reading the whole argument that he makes for what has happened in this country culturally in the last 50 years, and the role of, say, Helen Gurley Brown's Cosmopolitan magazine, just as one example, in bringing to pass revolutionary change in the relationships between men and women, the way in which women perceive themselves, attitudes toward sexual matters were revolutionarily changed since the 1960s. And now, of course, you get into this whole business of gender neutral language and the LGBTQ movement and all the rest of it. And it really has resulted in a situation where increasingly, as Paul Craig Roberts argues it here, has made the halls of higher education increasingly tenuous landmines for white heterosexual males who are the perceived source of evil for these cultural Marxists. And this gets into a very interesting article that was out there in Lou Rockwell yesterday. I'm trying to remember this guy's name at Evolution who wrote the article, but it does underscore the fact that when you start looking at these elections, for example, let's look right here in Texas, United States Senate race. Beto O'Rourke, Democratic challenger, Ted Cruz, the Republican incumbent U.S. Senator, GOP U.S. senator. They're both in San Antonio today campaigning. They start analyzing Ted Cruz. It's interesting that one at one level would think that your average white heterosexual male would certainly be pulling the lever for Ted Cruz here in Texas. And I think people in that demographic category or set of categories will in disproportionate numbers vote for Cruz. But then what do people like you and me do when we are confronted with Cruz's relationship with Goldman Sachs, when we are confronted with Cruz's role as a pivotal figure as an asset for the Israeli lobby in the United States Senate.
Yeah,
the Washington. Yeah.
If you don't stand with Israel, I don't stand with you.
Yeah, exactly. And when you hear that kind of rhetoric, and Ted Cruz did say that, folks, and then you see the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs underscoring the fact that both Ted Cruz and John Cornyn here in Texas are incumbent GOP senators, U.S. senators, are both a part of Wormia's so-called Hall of Shame because of their absolute towing of the line on everything that Israel and the Israeli lobby wants, down to the last jot and tittle. And the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs chronicled the voting record of anyone that was put in that so-called Hall of Shame up there on Capitol Hill. And Ted Cruz and John Cornyn were two of the worst people in the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, the white heterosexual male community here in Texas, which has a lot of people in it who happen to be Christian, who happen to be pro-life, who happen to be NRA members and so forth and so on, I fit all of those things in my own biographical description. And yet when you come to something like corporatism and you come to something like globalism and Goldman Sachs being the epitome of that, it would seem to me, and then you look at the relationship that Cornyn and Cruz have with the Zionist lobby, it makes being a white heterosexual male in the general voting population even more difficult than usual, because that those key areas where, again, those of us who feel disenfranchised, and rightly so, by the kinds of trends that Paul Craig Roberts talks about in this piece on feminism and white heterosexual males, nonetheless come up against a race like this U.S. Senate race in Texas, and we either say, well, I'm going to vote for Cruz because he isn't Beto O'Rourke, and Cruz will at least not be grabbing my guns in the future. Cruz is not owned by the feminazi lobby, as it were, and yet here he is so strongly in bed with the New World Order in terms of the empire, in terms of wars for Zionism, in terms of Goldman Sachs and all the rest of it, that it has produced a level of alienation for many of us from the American electoral process that has made these things increasingly difficult for people in our particular demographic neck of the woods to know what to do. Do we vote libertarian, right? You could go into a voting booth here in Texas. In Bexar County, for example, I had an early vote yesterday. And if you wanted to, you could say, you know, I'm so sick of this, I'm just going to vote bullet vote libertarian and get out of the voting booth. That might not be a bad angle as a protest vote. But again, it's difficult for us to know what to do, especially when it seems in the foreign policy and national security area that people of our demographic background voted in disproportionate numbers for Donald Trump, only to discover that we might be getting closer and closer to the very global war in the Middle East and with Russia and potentially China that none of us want.
Yeah, it's a very difficult position to be in. I mean, I would like to recommend to people to vote for Republicans for Congress, not because I even like Republicans, but just because, you know, you look at the Brett Kavanaugh vote, for instance, and it was a partisan vote almost completely. And the Republican Party is not really a pro-Trump party, but it's less anti-Trump than the Democrats, and it might become somewhat more pro-Trump. And, of course, it's not as if Trump is, you know, our savior for everything, but he's all we got right now. So I'd like to tell people to vote Republican. If I was in Texas and having to pull the lever for Ted Cruz, who I just find absolutely nauseating, I don't envy you, Mark. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, as people off the record will ask me, hey, you know, should I vote? Does it even matter? So forth and so on. There's a lot of conflicting feelings that I have on this, having been a third-party candidate in the U.S. Senate race, having seen a lot of corruption in the Republican Party, my longtime party, over the course of my lifetime. This is an interesting topic. It's a struggle. I voted, but with great reservations.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, we're going to switch gears one more time. I'm looking at a picture. This is from an article in the Jewish Telegraphic Agency that you can that is linked to from National Bugle. Thank you so much, Mark Dankoff, for really making nationalbugle.com into an important source that everybody needs to check on a daily basis. A picture of Amit. Now, Amit is an 18-year-old from Illinois, and Amit is one of the participants in Moving Traditions' first group for transgender and non-binary Jewish teens. I don't know if Amit is a boy's name or a girl's name, because I don't know these names. And I'm looking at the picture, and she is, or he, I don't know if it's a he or a she, whatever it is, it is non-binary and pretty Jewish looking too. What's going on here? Because, you know, in general, the Jews are they have this big Orthodox community that pumps out babies and is immune from all of the, you know, cultural Marxism. But then they've got these secular people who, I guess, drink the Kool-Aid of their own values, their own Jewish values. What's going on here?
Well, this is certainly not something I'm sure that the Orthodox Jewish community is rejoicing over. But apparently for Jews that are not a part of the Orthodox community, there seems to be an increasing embrace of this cultural Marxism, which, of course, we've discussed from time to time, has had a major Jewish component to it ever since the end of the Second World War and before, actually. I found when I was reading this Jewish Telegraphic article this morning that you're making reference to, I'm going to confess something, folks. I did not know what non-binary was. I mean, it's amazing what you can learn about these matters when you're 63 years old. But I first looked at Wikipedia. Gender queer, also known as non-binary, is a catch-all category for gender identities that are not exclusively masculine or feminine identities, which are outside the gender binary and cis normativity. Genderqueer people may express a combination of masculinity and femininity or neither in their gender expression. That's Wikipedia. If you're confused, here's another one. Big picture of course, the rainbow flag. And it says, male or female, I am non-binary. The binary gender cannot describe me. I may be both, another, all, none, or beyond. Male or female are two aspects of humanity. When 2% of children are born intersex and the binary won't fit biological body diversity, how would it ever fit the diversity of gender? Please refer to me by gender-neutral pronouns, they or their.
How about it?
Yeah, or preferred ones, or use my name, or check my Democratic Party registration. No, that's a joke, folks. That's not in here. I added that. That's a joke. And for
D, we could call them by D.
By that D, yes. But I'm reading this this morning thinking, am I on Mars? Do I need to get out of the Western world? I mean, advise me, folks, if I need to head for Moscow, just write in and tell me I need to go.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to brush up on your Cyrillic alphabet.
Yes. And I'll tell them I'm definitely, what is it? I am of binary gender.
Yes, binary, one or the other.
Yes, and I'm a male. That's right.
That'll
be on my application when I get out of the West.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on short notice. And that's Mark Dankoff. Check out nationalpeople.com. Contribute to RBN. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Hotel 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.